Pastor Keith.
Oh, my goodness. You guys good? Everybody good? Come on. Was that not an awesome time of worship and praise to our Father? He is so worthy of so much more than we can give, and I just really, really enjoy getting to do what we do here. And I just want to say from me to you, all the new people, there's several new folks I met coming in today. And here's what's starting to happen here is I meet people and they go, yeah, I've been here 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I hadn't got to meet you yet. And I just, because, you know, it's, when we were 30 people, it was like, oh, there's a new person. Hi. And we were all like in the room together. It was just great. But God just keeps bringing and sending people here. If you're lost, we want to help you find what it is God has for you. That's our goal, is to help you see who Jesus is, not just in our life, but in the lives of others around us and from his word. And so y'all ready for some word? Let's just get straight into it. You want to? When you came in today, you were handed a worship guide at the door. I hope you were, and I appreciate it. Hey, kudos to our hospitality team. We love you guys so much. Thank you. We had several new people serving today on that team, and it's just awesome to continue. If you want to serve on a team here, if you're looking for a place, stay afterwards, go out the back doors. Instead of turning right and going home or to go eat, turn left, come to the Kingdom Kids Room, and we're going to be going through what we call Impact. And today is step two, and you get to learn all about your personality and your spiritual gifts. And so come and learn about that. That's my invitation to you for you to come and be a part of that. When you pull your notes out, you're going to look in the top left-hand corner, and it says Renewed Passion. We decided to name this series a French name, Passion, and so actually you need to put an S there, okay? That was a typo on my part, and the worship guide team, they're really good about catching that stuff, and Ken came in this morning, and he said, oh, Renew Passion. I said, what are you talking about, man? So anyway, you guys can fix that typo. I love being human with a certain absolute gonna happen come to Jesus' salvation. Don't you glad for that, huh? And all this stuff all the stuff that's messed up is gonna be fixed one day. So for the next 3 weeks, actually for 4 weeks, next week we're doing Family Sunday. Please come back. There's a special treat for you that day. I'm telling you, it's gonna be awesome. I've just heard little things here and there about what's gonna happen, and it's my Sunday off, and man, it's just gonna be good. Just come and be a part of that. And the 2 weeks after that, we'll finish the series. This is just a three-message series called Renewed Passion. We're in a time of season in the year itself where everybody's kind of getting back to routine. You guys are through playing in the summer for the most part. I know we got Labor Day. Oh, don't forget about Labor Day. We're not going to be there on Labor Day, man. I'm sorry. We're going to the beach one last time. You got to get it in one more time, right? And so a lot of times we spend our summers, and we love Jesus, and we serve the Lord. We spend a lot of it on ourselves. It's time to relax and lay back and do whatever it is that you do, something different from what you've been doing, the routine and all. But, hey, it's time to get back to a renewed passion for what God is doing in your life. Not that you left it totally, but sometimes our focus doesn't stay exactly where it needs to be when there's so many things going on around us. So we're going to take this series and talk about reigniting our passion for the Lord. Romans 12:2 is actually the verse we're going to kind of, this is a launching point for this, and it just simply says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. It is a difference going from conformity, where I conform to everything around me, letting the world, well, that literally means, don't let the world press you into its mold. And many of you have come out of that life, and now you're letting Jesus transform your life. And the renewed of that, the renewness and the newness of all of that brings about a passion. It's hard to describe. We talk about it a lot. We sing about it a lot. But until you experience it, it's very difficult to just kind of bring that to you. But he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to prove and to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you ever have wanted to know what it is that God has planned for your life, and yet you're not serving Jesus, that's kind of not putting what you need to put first, okay? You got the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Anyway, it's in the wrong place, misplaced focus. So we got to get all that stuff out of the way and can transform ourselves in Christ. And today we're going to talk about, the title of the lesson is Passion for His Presence. I got to stop doing that. I'm sorry. I just like saying that because it makes me feel like I actually know French, and I don't. I don't know what the word for passion is in French. Probably don't want to know. But anyway, all right. So Passion for his presence. Every day I pray for God to give me his protection, his blessing, his influence, and his presence. But God, I will say often, Lord, if you only gonna give me one of them, I'll take your presence over the rest. Because I want you instead of any other kind of thing that there is. And so whatever it is, if God doesn't do anything else except save us, then hey, that's plenty, correct? Everything else is gravy from there. And we have so many blessings and things that he's given us, but we want his presence. He has been pursuing us ever since Adam and Eve reached up, plucked the fruit, and ate from the wrong tree. They ate the wrong fruit, and they disobeyed God and separated man from God. And from Abraham to Moses to the law and the prophets, ultimately Jesus coming in the flesh, the Son of God emptying himself of his deity, coming in the flesh. And then as he gets ready to leave, I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, he's going to give us Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But God has planted within us this desire for something more than us. And yet our culture says, get everything you can get for you and you'll be happy. And God continues. We see it paraded before us all the time, these people who have what we would consider everything in the world, and yet the most miserable people in the world, because the thing they're searching for is something eternal, not something that's temporal or temporary. Ecclesiastes says it like this. Solomon, the wisest man who ever walked the face of the planet, said, God has planted eternity in the human heart. If he stopped right there, you would say, well, okay, if it's in my heart, then why do I desire it so much? If it's there, why do I desire it? But he has a but phrase, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. He was the wisest who ever walked, and yet he messed it up royally. Why? Because he started seeking the temporary things over the eternal things. And he says in his own writings, God caused us to have this eternal place. If you know people who are even atheists who do not believe in God whatsoever, but you know they're seeking more, and they're trying to fulfill it in things that are not eternal, you can see their life, and they may appear happy and all good and everything's fine. And here's the thing. Sin is pleasurable. Things, not just atheism, but things that we participate in, it's pleasurable. The scripture puts this little caveat in it for a season. There's a season of pleasure in it, but it always gives us, you know, what they'll say, it keeps us longer than we want to stay. It makes us pay more than we want to pay. It always happens that way. And yet we always go, well, not me. I know that happened to so-and-so, but it's not going to happen to me. And then we find ourselves right back where we were. God has created us with this sense of longing, this dissatisfaction with the things around us. Someone called it a holy discontent. There's this discontentment that says there's got to be more than what I'm. It's a restlessness that St. Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they learn to rest in you. I love that phrase, that whole thing. And that's really the story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is God pursuing man and giving us everything we need, but you and I must accept that. That's the last point of the day. I'm not there just yet, but I will be there in just a minute. No matter how much we pursue fulfillment here, it's not going to be found without Jesus. Can I ask you a question? We always say that. I'm going to ask you a question. Where are your passions? It wouldn't be very long that you and I could hang out together and I could tell you where your passions are, because that's what you're going to talk about. I could come to your house and find out very soon just how much your passion is wrapped up in things of this world, and you don't have to say a word. The things you spend your time on, energy, money, whatever it is, our excitement for the Lord ought to look like Graham, our dog, when Liz walks into the room. If there were a camera on the wall recording this, and I need to do this sometime for her, because she's like, I don't believe. When I'm there just by myself with him, he's just like, oh, I'm just glad I'm here. He'll sit in his crate. He'll sit on the couch. If she's in the house, like in the bedroom sleeping or something, and she's in the house, like early in the morning when I get up and I'm doing my, he'll sit on the arm of the couch and just look at the door. She's got to be coming out soon. And when she comes into the room, he's like an Aussie doodle, so he's got all this energy pent up inside of him. He's like the horse backed up into the stall, ready to chase after the calf, man. He's ready. And she comes in the room, and it's like, she's here. fire. Ah! And I'm not over-exaggerating anything. His eyes get, and his, he's running and bouncing all over everything. And he runs and grabs the little ball that he likes to play with. And he brings it to me. Take it to her. She's the one you've been looking for. But all of a sudden, his somber attitude and spirit becomes joy just because she's in the room. I'm going to tell you something. That's a silly little illustration for how we ought to feel when we come into the presence of Jesus. He's in the room. He's here. When you look around in our worship gathering, we're singing and people are shouting and dancing around and just all these things. It's not because we're trying to impress you at all. We're trying to tell our God, we're so glad you're in the room. God, all week long, I've been out here in the world. I've been at work. I've been doing all these things. But you're in the room. Now, here's the truth. He's always there. It's not him that moves around. It's us that do. But you see my point? We desire that presence. Like a teenager when mom and dad walks in the room. Oh, you're here. Yeah, you know that's not right, right? And all the parents that got little kids are going, yeah, it's going to be different with my kids when I come in the room. They're going to be like, yes, they're in the room. No, they're not. No, they're not. I heard a comedian say that teenagers are like God's reminder of things that we invent and create that deny our very existence. You know, it's like an atheist to God. I'm joking a bit, but my, y'all hear what I'm saying? Let his presence be all that means everything to you. One more little illustration. I got to move on. This wasn't in the notes. We were in a men's group one Sunday morning, Saturday morning. We're off right now, but we're going to have it back in the fall. But this Saturday morning's men's group, and we were talking about how much of our conversation in that group is about Jesus and God and about the Word and all these things. And then we get done with group, and we're all standing around, and it gravitates toward football season's coming up. And, you know, Friday night football and Saturday football and all these things. And we begin to, it's so easy. Let me just challenge from, where's Caleb, brother? We need to be challenged as men to speak. It's okay to, I'm not downing and dogging football. I'll be doing all those things some during the, but it's just not as important to me as it used to be. And the older I get, and this is not just men, this is women too. I'm just using my group as an example. You ladies, I don't know what you talk about, but you talk a lot. And I know some of you like Liz are going, yeah, but you don't live with him, right? All right, so my thing is, where's our conversation? Where's our interest? Where's our goals? And it needs to be centered up. Now, I mean, I will say this. Try not to be that guy that walks into the room. And the guy says, man, I've lost my keys. He said, well, what you need, the keys to the kingdom. That's what you need. We don't do that. Don't start making every little thing about all that. You see what I'm saying? Most of the time, you don't have to say much to let people know if you follow Jesus or not. Y'all agree with that? You don't have to say a lot. It's confidence. Man, there's a whole sermon in that I didn't plan to preach, and I can't. I got to move forward. But it's so good. We need to sincerely want the presence of God. And it's not an ethereal, weird thing. It's a great, wonderful, life-giving thing. That even in the midst of a diagnosis, in the midst of when your car breaks down, when in the midst of standing in line, in the midst of people cutting off in traffic, wherever it is, if he is there, it levels everything. Everything. The book I'm reading, the guy said, I'm using traffic as forgiveness practice. I love that. That's a mindset for the presence of God. And so here's what it does. What does it mean? What does it mean? And some of you are going, I don't have a clue what it even means. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. The absence of God is the worst thing you can experience. But until you begin to understand what a little bit of this means, then you're going to go, I don't really know. I don't get it. Can I just ask you to take a step of faith today? I don't understand it, but I'm stepping toward it. I'd like to ask some questions, but I'm going to step toward it while I am. I don't believe like you do, but I'm going to step toward it. In fact, come on, Christians, can I just encourage us to step toward people who don't believe? That's right. It's easy to hang out with you guys. Sometimes it's hard sometimes to step in those places where we're a little bit uncomfortable. Well, point number one is this, his presence. I'm going to give you two things today. One's broken down a little bit, and we'll be done, okay? His presence comforts us. His presence comforts us. Chains break. Mountains move out of the way when God is present. His presence mends brokenness. The brokenness that's in your life, in your relationships, your sorrow, and your pain. Now, let me tell you, Jesus said, I came to bring a sword, not peace. That's another context for another time. But when you begin to imbibe Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, the whole concept of the things that he's trying to get you to understand about his presence, it begins to bring a peace that the Bible says you cannot even understand why you're so calm in the moment. You can't. It goes beyond the ability to understand. His presence breaks the enemy. It doesn't just deter the enemy. He's going to stay and he's going to keep doing his stuff, but he has nothing over us. Fear is gone in Jesus' name. Shame defines you. You can feel guilty if you do something wrong, but don't get caught up in, well, that's just who I am. That's shame talking. That is not who you are. You're a child of God who messed up. You're not someone who messed up that's just trying to be a child of God. Come on, y'all. We serve a God who's living, who gives us the ability in the moment to say no and to say yes and to do the things that he's called us to do and to be. Anxiety goes away. Worry goes away. Comfort comes. His presence in our lives alleviates sickness. It alleviates suffering and loss. His words to his people. Israel did not choose God. I hope y'all know that. Israel didn't just say, we need a God. Let's just take Jehovah. No, Jehovah chose Israel. You will be my people, and I will be your God. And he was with them and wanted to be with them and desired to be with them. And sometimes they just didn't want him around. And here's what he says to his people. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Do not be afraid. It's one of the greatest phrases in all the Bible is do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. And because we're so caught up in the things that may fall apart today, you keep trying after this situation or that job or this person or this relationship, and you keep pushing after that, and you know it's not centered in God. You know it. You sense that eternal thing that's not found in that person or that job or that bank account, whatever it is, and you're constantly worried about it. That is not of God. Have the presence of God and let all of those things take care of themselves. That sounds very simplistic, and there's a lot more I could say about that, but we're going to move to point number two. His presence empowers us. Not only do we get comfort from him, but we are empowered by him. He makes things happen. When God's in the room, things change. Knowing he's right here with me strengthens me. Caleb's talking about my ability to play drums. That's a lot of practice that happens before you can get to there. But my joy is not in the techniques that I'm trying to pull off up here. The things that I want to do up here and bring about a moment, not only for me, but for you guys, is all centered in holy. It comes out in that. And you guys who are musicians know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not about check out this cool riff. That's in the other band I play in. I try to be cool there. Now, cool left me about 35 or so. But anyway, we try it. This is not about cool. It's not about cool to be in a church that does what we do. It's not cool. We like to say, Discovery Church, man, come over here with us. But it's not about us. It's about the one who we serve, the one who we serve. It's his presence, and it gives us boldness. So, encouragement. The first point you're going to see under that is you get boldness to speak. Boldness to speak out. Listen, Paul, in Acts 4, there's lots of stories about in Acts, in the book of Acts itself. It's the book right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts in your New Testament. And it's really a story of how the Holy Spirit acted in the world. And it's how the disciples that Jesus poured his life into did what he asked them to do. That's really all the book is about. And in one of those stories, they are praying because they've been threatened to be quiet about Jesus. And the scripture says this, in chapter 4, verse 29, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, the ability to kill our enemy. We want them out of our face. No, that was the disciples before resurrection, before Holy Spirit came. All they wanted to do was kill Rome and get them out of the way. They weren't asking for boldness to do that. Their attitude has changed because God's in them. The boldness in preaching your word, let us share the message. Verse 30 says, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, too many people in Christendom and the world seek that experience. They're trying to make the world shake. They're trying to make the experience happen and all those things. You may experience the Lord, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with whatever he has. But the shaking of the world wasn't the point in that story. It was the presence of God. It was God being in the room. When you pray and things happen, it's not about the thing that happened or didn't happen. It's about the presence of God. And whatever he does or decides to do or not do, we are with him. And the scripture says, then, I love the word then they preached the word of God with boldness. It was after the power and the presence of the Lord that they were emboldened to preach. There's three P's. Did y'all hear that? I just made that up. It's just automatic with preachers. That power comes because of the presence, so we can preach. You can tell people about Jesus when you have the power of Christ inside of you, and you allow that to permeate every part of your life. That empowerment gives us deliverance. Deliverance. Paul, speaking of the troubles in his travels, he said this about depending upon God for deliverance. He said, and this is catching a sentence in the middle of a story, okay? You'll just have to go back and read the rest of it. But he said, we expected to die. Have you ever been there? Man, I went through this surgery, went through this accident, went through whatever. I thought I was going to die. They expected to die as a result, but as a result of this crushing that he talks about, again, that's another part of the message I can't get to. He says, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely partially on God. That's not what it says. It says we learned to rely only on God, only on him who raises the dead. I love that phrase. Just so happens that our God raises the dead, and he just did with Jesus. We have placed our confidence in him, he says, and he will continue to rescue us. A crushing in their situation brought faith about so that they could be delivered. How? Through the reliance, through the crushing of the relying on God through it. And God's going to, there are things that you're going to walk through and things that's going to happen in your life and so on. And God's going to allow you to be able to make a choice. He's either with me or he's not with me, or I'm with him or I'm not with him. And when that choice is made that we depend upon God, that's when things begin to happen. That's when the earth shakes and the situations begin to pale in comparison to what it is that we're going to have. What is it? This comes in my mind. Our present troubles are nothing to be compared to the glory. And that glory, this is off the top of my head. I think the glory he's talking about is not talking about the glory of heaven one day. It's talking about the glory that you experience on the earth. Somebody with a Bible scholar, y'all agree with that? I think that's what he's saying there. That we're so enamored with heaven that we forget that the heaven's here. Amen. I'm looking at heaven in the room. I mean, you guys are going back to another state, over in Washington and all those things after today. And, man, God bless y'all for being here and enjoying the few weeks we've got to meet you guys. But you're going back. Wherever you go, the glory of God is. Wherever you go. Because we are living this choice we have made to depend upon his power. Y'all look a little bewildered right now. To be honest, this is bewildering to me. To try to explain the glory of God and the movement of God and all those things without you having experienced it yet is really difficult. It's like trying to tell an ant about the universe. I mean, he may look at you real funny and all that stuff, but he's not going to get it. And that's the way I feel with this. I read the Bible and I just go, really? That's for me? I know. I've been doing this for a long time, but still sometimes God just amazes me all the time. And his presence and fully depending upon that gives me the empowerment to be able to do what I needed. The boldness, the deliverance, and then finally the peace. The peace. Peace comes. And most people say, man, I just need some peace. Like yesterday, we kept Mo and Warren. I love my grandkids. But I'm telling you, man, I went home last night and I was whooped. I mean, it's both just so. We're watching, you know, Pressure Luck. Okay, Pressure Luck. just wanted to veg out for a little bit, just relax. There's a lot of energy in all of that. But that's not what peace is about, vegging out or being still, or today I may rest a lot more than I did. Rest is great, and it's godly and all those things. This is not the peace he's talking about here. This is an understanding that my brokenness is restored. The word peace literally is the completion of a broken circle. wherever your life is broken, God wants to reform that. It's like a piece of glass or something you drop on the floor and it cracks or breaks and you try to glue it all back together to make it useful again. God is trying his best to bring your life back together. Scripture says it this way, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. He came and lived in this world as a human so we could understand and walk through the things that he did. And he says, so you also are complete through your union with Christ. You don't need anything else. You can't be good enough to fix it. You can't unsin yourself into salvation. You can't do that. You can't. You just don't have the ability, because I don't either. Nobody does, except through the power of God who lives in us. Holy Spirit says, excuse me, this is not us. This is not us. We're not doing this. Or yes, we're going to go do this today. Because his presence is always ever ready with us. He says, who is the head over every ruler and authority? That's the last four messages that I spoke. If you want to hear that message, you can go back and listen. Walking in the authority of Christ brings us the greatest amount of peace. And when we get all tore up about something, and I do it more than I should, the thing that centers us back is finding that place where God gives us the peace that we need. And no other human being, no other thing, as much as we would like to do that for each other, you cannot complete your spouse. Only God can. You cannot complete anybody. Only God can. And our propensity to want you to make me happy is very difficult. It hit me this morning. I knew I was going to preach this, and something was not said to me that I thought should have been said to me, and I got in my feelings for about 10 minutes. And here's something I did differently than I usually do. I actually just got quiet. I know. Some of you are going, there ain't no way. But I did. I did. And it was such a blessing to do that, rather than to lose my mind. And the devil knows what I'm going to say, and he tries to throw those little trips up and whatever, and it sure feels good to beat one time. You know what I'm saying? It feels really good to say, ain't happening. Amen. Walk in the power of God. So you may be asking, how can I depend upon a presence that I don't even understand or even know? It's called faith. It's like when you tell your children, you're not going to do that. And they go, but why? And even if you explained it, this whole New Age thing of trying to explain to your three-year-old why, and you think, oh, he got it. He just understood. No, he didn't. He can't. If you leave him to himself, he will bring you to shame. You say, well, what are you talking about? That's the Proverbs. That's the Bible. No, he needs to be redirected. And we can't go there today. What do we do? What do you do? And let me get back to serious. I'm sorry. Sometimes I do that. I think I got to be funny for a minute, but I shouldn't have. Because I want you to seriously think for a moment. What would you do if someone told you, like I've told you all morning, that the very presence of God will bring about the peace that you're searching for if you will just simply take a step of faith? And you say, I don't even know how to do that. And I could give you sinner's prayer, which is not in the Bible. And I could talk to you about baptism because, you know, it's part of the walk. And I could talk to you about repentance and turning your life back to him and all those things. And every one of those things are good things to do. But the first thing that has to happen before any of us do anything for God is it starts with surrender. And that can look like a lot of different things. And it can be acted out in a lot of different ways. But today, it's just simply a receiving of him. It's hard to fight our religiosity in some of these moments like this. But I'm going to ask the prayer team to come down here. You guys come on down. And for you guys who are guests with us, these are people who God's called to be on our prayer team to come and pray with and over you, however you need that to be done. And they want to bless you. They want to be a blessing to you. And they want to pray over you, and that's simply all we want to do. When you take a step towards something, that is a step of faith and a step of surrender, saying, this is not comfortable for me. This is not something that I'm used to doing. But the first thing that has to happen is you have to say, I give up. So that sounds too easy. fighters and we're whatever we are. This starts with surrender. Jesus said it this way. He said, just come follow me. Now, I'm going to preach, start in January. I've got a plan, series plan that's going to last for a while on discipleship. Don't even know what I'm going to call it yet. But when you learn, and I learn exactly what that means to come follow me, for them it was such a deep, deep thing. For us, it's not just coming to church, though that's a part of it. It's not just having a Bible study. All these things are connected. They're interconnected. But I'm not asking you. When you ask people how their spiritual life is, they'll say, well, I go to church. Well, I didn't ask you that. Or they'll say, I'm sorry, I haven't been to church in a long, long time. Didn't ask you that. A lot of people go to church all the time. And they're about as spiritually deep as a thimble. I've been there, and I've done it, and I've experienced it. I'm not preaching at you. I'm just saying I've experienced that. But y'all, church and Christianity, walking with Jesus, and all the things that our culture looks at this stuff and just says, no, it can't be that, because that's just too, there's not enough good answers for all those things. Come on, y'all. Put away the confusion. Put it away and take a step of faith. Maybe for you it's a leap of faith. Maybe you're thinking, if I do this, if I just come follow Jesus, then people are going to leave me. Happened to me. All my best friends in high school left me in a spit's worth of time. Boom, just that fast. And now they've all turned their life around and come back to Jesus. Not because of me, but just, I'm just saying we found our way. None of that really, come on, man. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Rest. Is there anybody in the room today that's tired? And I'm not just talking about a physical like me, you know, after keeping kids all day. Yeah, I'm physically tired. I'm mentally as sharp as I've been in a long, long time. I feel so strong inside not just when I stand here, but this is especially a time for me. It's because God allows me to do what he's called me to do and speak the word and do these. I feel empowered by him. And it all started in a little church in Lauderdale County with Gilbert Kretzer preaching a sermon I don't even remember. And I just walked an aisle. And here we are. A lot of stuff in between. But what you're trying to trust right now, I promise you, it will fail you. If you're waiting on your spouse to come, stop. Wait on them while serving Jesus. Come on, can I get an amen for somebody who's done that already? Don't wait till they get there. Go and then go get them and bring them with you and show them and teach them and show and live that way. Just live, man. Just live. Come to me. Jesus said, I will give you rest. Tired of the rat race and the rats winning? Tired of being bored out of your mind and just reeling? I'm going to reel. I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. I really am. It's fun. I enjoy a few of those things. Some of them are even Christian, great messages to see. But if that's where I'm spending all my time, come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Here's the thing. I'm asking you today to come into an adventure. An adventure where you come together with the people of God, the God of the universe. He's the point. And these people are some of the most wonderful, messed up, like impulsive, misunderstood, loving, different. Some of them are amazing. Some of them are just weird. I are one of them, so I know. I know. Come on, y'all. And it doesn't have to be any way except you coming with a bunch of messed up people and just walking in faith one step at a time. And I'll tell you when the journey ends. It's when Jesus says, come home. Or when the trumpet sounds and the world stops. Or when you don't have breath anymore. Because you continue to be growing in this. Jesus said, to all believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth, from human passion or plan. I love this, but a birth, everybody say from. It's a birth from God. You don't get born again, we say in the South. You don't go and get something. God gives you born again. God gives you. The word literally means born from above. It's something he does, not what you do. I had that backwards for all these years. Your job today, whether you come out here and pray with them or not, is to just give up, surrender, and say, Lord, I don't even know what this means right now fully, but I truly want to surrender to you. Somebody came up to me a few services ago and said, you know, I think I gave my life to Jesus today. I love that attitude. It's like, I don't even know if I did it, right? I mean, I just know that I didn't believe before. Now I believe. What do I do next? I love that spirit, man. Give me a million of them. I love it. So let's stand together. Father, in this moment, will we give ourselves an opportunity to be able to just release and to let you do your thing, God. We just want to open it up to you, Father, as we have all service, really. God, this isn't about my words. This isn't about, please, Father, overrule, go beyond my abilities to communicate or to persuade or any of those things. Lord, you come in with the power of the Spirit. And you, Father, you motivate all of us, not just the unbeliever, but the disenfranchised, the hurt, the angry, the frustrated, the person who's holding on to forgiveness. Let them come today, Lord, and be completely set free from that, and then take one step at a time in the healing process. For the ones who are just inundated with a sin in their life and they don't know what to do and they don't know how to get it out, Father, just eat up with shame because it just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back, and they're tired of it coming back, Lord. I pray today for full surrender. I pray that they will step out today and take a step, like a physical step, but really a massive spiritual leap, God, into you. For those of us who struggle about getting healed and all the things that come about deliverance ministry and trying to get unbound from the things in our life, and we don't even know what all that means, God, we just pray for a sense of your presence to the point that, God, we just release it all to you, because it's all about you anyway, Lord. And I'm not shouting because you can't hear it. I'm shouting for the benefit of the people in this room to be able to let us know this is a fire in our bones, God. This is something that we love being in your presence. We adore you. We praise you. We honor you. We lay it all out before you, Lord. We surrender it all right now. And I just pray that people will come right now. Just come on. Wherever you are, come on, y'all. Come down for prayer. Come down and get prayed over. See, nobody's moving. And that bothers me a little bit. I'm not going to try to push you or poke you or prod you. But you're missing out on a blessing. If you know you're feeling that and you sense it. And again, not about my persuasion. It's not about any of that stuff. Just let God do his thing. Maybe in your seat right now, you just look at the person next to you and say, would you just pray for me? Would you just let me release this to you? Just release whatever it is. I promise you, the confession will be scary, and it'll be different, and it'll be weird. But when you let it out, you let somebody else know it, the devil has no more control over it. So I ask you to come and release it today in Jesus' name. Release it to you. Prayer team, we need more people. Come on. Come on. We got more added. Come on. If you're waiting on somebody else to move, there's people up here waiting on you now. Come on. Surrender it all. Sing from your heart. I surrender.
I surrender.
I want to know you more. That is a desire. It's a desire. It's a seeking. It's that discontent that's in your heart that you don't know why it's there, but you want to get rid of it. You don't want to be discontent anymore. Just come give it to the Lord, whatever that is, man. Just come and give it to Him. Come on. Surrender. Blessing. Can I just reach like one more time? Not trying to make anybody do anything you don't want to do. I just want to reach one more time. Just if you just have it, and some people, this is a hard thing for some people to do, to walk. I get it. The aisles can be like a deterrent almost. But I just don't want to miss an opportunity. And so if you're out here today, I'm not going to ask you to say a word, go anywhere, do anything. But I would love to just, as we close today, just say a general prayer along with our prayer team. We're going to look across this room. And anybody, you guys who are praying, put your hands up. You won't put them down unless you need prayer. if you'll just lift your hands, say, hey, and we're not down on you. This is an opportunity. We got two back over here, so I'm not, and that's great. However we can help you connect today. There's two over here. Is anybody else who just says, I need the Lord? That's all you got to say. You don't say anything else. You don't say it to anybody. Two over here. Anybody else? Before we pray, here's one over here. Yes, sir. Yes, absolutely. Over here. Anybody else? Back in the back over here. Right here. Right here. Another one. Anybody else? I'm not going to point. Some preachers just start pointing everywhere. I'm not going. Hey, got one right here. Oh, God bless you. And so, Father, as we close today, what this we call this service time, we never close, and you never close from listening to us. So, God, right now, as we end our time together as a collective group of believers today, and those struggling, all of us who struggle, Lord, we just pray over these who've said, hey, I just need you, Lord. And I thank you for being a God who knows every heart of every person and exactly, maybe somebody online at home right now has raised their hands, I want more of the Lord. I need to know you more. Lord, as that song says. I just whatever. We just want to pray for them as well, Lord. You go beyond and across all kinds of barriers. So, God, I pray for you to break those down today, to give whatever it is that people have in their heart that's in between you and them a rest, a breaking, a moving, a moment. And let this moment become a monument in our life where we every day we erect this altar to you, and we stand before and sit before and on our knees and on our faces, Lord, before the altar of Jesus Christ, and we say, hey, we remember this moment, but God, let this be a part of my life. To separate us, Lord, not from the world. Let us be in the world, just not of it. And God, help us as we go today to just take the Spirit of Christ who is in us and just simply live in front of people. And love well. And love strong, because that's who you are. Honor you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed, please say amen right there. Hey, can we just give God a shout of praise? Come on. Woo! We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Yep. Awesome. Again, if you're a guest with us, I don't know if we said anything about connection cards earlier. They're in the front of the chairs in front of you. I know people are like, I ain't sitting around filling out that card. Please sit around for a moment. Fill it out. Put it in those boxes back there so we can connect with you. It's right on the wall. All of our partners, this is a time we give our tithes and offerings at the end of our service. Please don't forget to do that. Thank you for your generosity. Because of it, so many good things are being done in our community and our world right now. Praise God for all of that. For all of our guests, glad you're here. Let us get to know you a little better. Come to Impact. Take a left. Remember, go to the Kingdom Kids.